Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
You joined us as we bring you part two of Stepping Into Your True Power. Today we're going to delve into how to create from this place. Sounds pretty simple, right? It is simple if you have discovered how to connect to your truth and you are able to use this as your starting point. Now, for most of us, this truth is hidden from our awareness due to many factors that were discussed in last week's show, which was the part one, Claim Your Power. Now, in order to create, one must transcend one's prior conditioning. It's just that simple. Otherwise, it will only be whatever you create is only going to be a carbon copy of something with which you are already familiar.
This is so true, Raj. So often we have an already always way of seeing the world, and when we act out of this perspective, that when we do that, we tend to not only not be free to create, but we're not really seeing ourselves or life as it really is.
Yes, Perletta, and recognizing that we have been gifted with individual freedom to create requires us to step outside of our own comfort zone, our own experiences, our limitations, and all of the preconceived notions. Please understand that the very nature of creation is beyond the conditioned mind. I think I have heard more people deny their own power to create by making statements such as, I am not creative, or I am not good at whatever, fill in the blanks. I always wonder where this statement or label is coming from. Perhaps, you know, a parent or a teacher or friend conveyed this to you, or you became accustomed to comparing yourself to others in order to get your own identity. And in that moment, you felt less than the other person. However, you came to this false conclusion. It keeps you from recognizing, acknowledging, and using your own gift of the power to create. Instead, sometimes we can be left with living from our own self-imposed limitations. Not sometimes, I think most of the time. Is it any wonder that so many of us are experiencing life with a void that we just can't explain? We're confused about it. We're confused about where it comes from, yet we continue to keep going.
I relate to what you mentioned, Raj. I certainly did not ever feel like I was a creative person. And it wasn't until later in life that I came in contact with a woman by the name of Ruth Richards, who wrote a book called Everyday Creativity on this very subject. And it's called Everyday Creativity because she is a researcher and doctor, and her premise is that actually everyone is creative in their everyday lives. And most people don't actually feel or believe that they're creative because they compare themselves to eminent creators like Picasso, you know, or Mozart. And if they don't create at that level, if they're not recognized by other people, then they don't necessarily see themselves as being creative. And she dispels that myth in the book. She talks about how most people actually are creative, and they use it every day. For example, they may dress in a creative way, or they may cook special meals. They may develop concoctions, or you may go to someone's house and you think, oh my God, they're a fantastic cook. Or they may work on vehicles. Some people can take things apart and put them back together. Or they may have a beautiful garden, or you know, they may have an ability to make their home not just welcoming in terms of, you know, being comfortable, aesthetically very pleasing. And all of those ways of enhancing and taking something and making it into something else are expressions of creativity and our uniqueness in our creativity. So thinking of creativity in a limiting way that serves us, that does not serve us, excuse me, think of it in a limiting way, like if I'm not acknowledged by others as my whatever I'm doing as a work of art, is not only limiting, but it robs us of the opportunity to experience our creativity. And it's just for us to notice, where do we express ourselves and our uniqueness in our lives? If we look at it from that perspective, that I'm using it, it's just for me to notice how I'm using it, then we're open to a new way of being and a new way of expressing ourselves with awareness that we're using our creative power.
So what I'm hearing you say, Perletta, is basically we're all creative, then everything we do is creative. It's a matter of, you know, every time we speak, we're creating something. Every time we do anything at home, we're creating something out of nothing. However, I think what we're talking about is harnessing the power of creativity to really deepen it and expand it. Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, yes, and before you harness it, you have to acknowledge that it's a part of who you are. Because if you go around feeling like you don't possess something, right, then you're less apt to explore the depth of what's possible for you. I know I used to not feel like I could draw. You know, oh, I can't draw because I compared myself to others, which is why it's so important not to compare yourself and your creativity and what you manifest to others. It's really to be authentic and genuine in your own expression and let it be how it is, because when you compare yourself to others, not only do you sometimes compare yourself negatively, right, but you diminish your full expression. Because when I used to compare myself to others, for example, if I compared myself as not being as worthy, then I stopped doing the thing that I view my work as not being as good. I just didn't want to do it because I didn't think it looked, quote, unquote, as nice. And it's not necessarily about what you produce at the end of the day, the end product. It's about how you feel in the part as you're expressing yourself. There's so much more to creativity than the end of the, you know, the work product that you manifest when it's over.
Right. So, you know, why is it so scary for us to step into that unknown place, the place beyond our comfort zone? So let's just look at something. Let's look at what the unknown represents for us. So when you were a child, every day was the unknown because you just showed up and you just trusted life since you had no reason to fear anything. But over time, you begin to take action from this unconditional, trusted place. And what happened? You were intensely reprimanded or condemned for your creative action. You know, creative action is just natural, and it's what makes us human. Now, this happened over and over again by your parents, by your siblings, and even your friends. Teachers. Now, of course, you are going to avoid the unknown and stay with what you perceive as safe. Another way to look at it is you run away from yourself, running as fast as you can, maybe towards power, money, respect, virtue, saintliness, whatever you're doing, whatever you're running towards. If you look deeper, you're not running for anything. You are running from. You're running from yourself, and the important distinction lies in the for and from. As long as we are running from ourselves, we cannot be connected to our truth, plain and simple. Whatever we are running for will be predefined or known, and we can temporarily, very temporarily, rest inside this illusion of safety. And at the same time, we're so far removed from our own truth.
Well, sometimes I think people may be running, and sometimes I think the motivating factor just may be judgment, right? We're so judgmental. It's one of those things that I know there was a class I was going to take on healing the judgmental mind. I probably still should take it. I didn't. because we're so judgmental, and we may not really even be aware of our judgments, but our judgments about ourselves and our capacity to be creative may be prohibiting us from stepping into it, right? And so we may not even be fully aware of what that is, of our truth, our creative capacity, because we don't even know what it is, because we stifled ourselves and our ability to step into that. So we don't really live in a culture either that's supportive of our growth and development and our self-introspection and how creative am I. If we make an assessment that we're not, we just live quite often like we're not. Or conversely, if we make an assessment that we are creative, then we pursue those avenues. So the idea is that regardless of where you are, we all have an opportunity to step into it from this very moment and to live and measure ourselves, not necessarily from a past-based belief, but what's current. And as a matter of fact, I don't know if you know this, Raj, but national organizations nations across this world are starting to actually measure creativity and happiness and other forms of well-being and include it as a part of their gross domestic product, or GDP. And they're doing that because they recognize that there's more that goes into a healthy culture and society than just, you know, finances and economics. So for those who haven't sought to go deeper to understand their creativity and what makes them thrive in life, there's always an opportunity or chance to do that.
Mm. Yeah, and you know, so what's the first step? Step one, stop running away from yourself. Become aware of your choices when you are simply filling up your time with TV, chores, social life, or just busy work. This is all conditioning. This is something that you're just automatically doing without really being aware or thinking about it. Notice when you feel overwhelmed by your busyness. Make time for yourself every single day. And this is a good time to, you know, just sit still, meditate, and make this a habit. This is where you will discover and connect with your truth and power.
Oh, I agree with you. I couldn't agree with you anymore about the preoccupation and addiction to busyness in this country. And what you're pointing people towards, Raj, is really a simple type of meditation, one that doesn't require that you sit in a room or in a posture, you know, with your eyes closed for an hour or longer, which many people don't do because they feel like it's out of the realm of reality for them. But with mindfulness meditation, you can do that anywhere at any time. And it's simply a practice of being aware of your moment-to-moment awareness. That's what you're pointing them towards, just being aware of your moment-to-moment, what's happening right now, what's your inner experience right now. And this will help you slowly to begin to connect with your own truth and your own inner experience.
Yes, and now so now that you're not running from yourself and your mind is quiet, let's take the next step into the present, the here, the now. Whether you know it or not, you're always in the here and now. All of us are just given one moment at a time, yet we are too busy planning, strategizing, or simply worrying about the future, which never comes. And at the same time, we're running from the past. What is here is the now, and our life is a series of nows. But if we look closely, we will realize that our constant planning causes us to sow the seeds of disappointment. All the worry about the future is quickly eroding the quality of the present moment, and very slowly, this becomes second nature. So when the future arrives, it's also going to show up as a present. And because of the habit of worrying and planning, you're also going to do the same thing for this moment. So instead of actually living, we just plan as life passes us by.
Well, okay, Ron, this is where I have a personal issue because I'm a consummate planner. And I think, I'll disagree with you. I'm open to what you have to say here, but I also want to tell you that planning has served me, and not just me. I think many people plan. We plan for the future. We plan for our retirement. We plan to have children. We have to plan on some level because it helps us to manifest down the road. But I know you're going to tell us more about how a proper way to plan and balance being in the moment and looking toward the future. So they say that most of us are either living in the future, like planning or anticipating tomorrow, or we're living in the past, reflecting or resenting or lamenting what happened yesterday. Few of us are actually fully aware and awake in the here and now.
Right. But, you know, the kind of planning I think that you're referring to is it becomes a habit. You know, it's okay to, like, you know, plan for your retirement. But you're sitting down, you're creating a plan. Let's say you're sitting with your financial advisor, and then you let go of it. Like, you planned in that moment, and then you're done. Now, if you constantly, every single day you're spending like 2 hours, you know, planning for your future, you know, the planning just becomes a habit then. You're not able to let go. It's like obsessive, just like, you know, thinking is not a problem, but thinking obsessively about something does become a problem. So that's what I'm talking about. It's not about never planning anything, but it's in that habit, that obsessive planning is what I'm talking about. Because realistically, we need to plan. We're talking about an obsession here where you cannot be with the present moment. So our other option is to live intensely and passionately now, because the next moment is born out of this moment. Now, when tomorrow comes, you will be there. And if you know how to live joyously, your tomorrow will also be full of dance and joy. Now, when we are not living from our truth and our power, we tend to plan for the future, when good days will come, or how to create those good days. We may even feel powerless to change this moment to a good moment. Like, we just don't know how to do it. This moment's here, and we're just living like we always do, either planning or worrying. Okay? Now, if we are completely joyous, if you know how to be the alchemist and change this moment to a joyous moment, there is no need to plan. There's no postponing your joy, your fulfillment, and your contentment to the future. However, a lifetime habit of postponing this experience literally takes away your power to live fully in the here and now. Now, you may ask, is it possible to be in the here and now all the time? Yes. This is the only possibility, because you cannot be anywhere else since we are only given this moment. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, go ahead, try jumping into tomorrow. Okay? Even your planning is being done here now. Whatever you do exists, the existence allows only for this moment, this space. In your hands, there is only the present moment.
That's very powerful, Raj. And, you know, I'm certainly one of those people who tend to, I won't say I'm addicted to planning, but I understand how planning helps to relieve one's mind sometimes, right? If particularly if we're worried, and or we want to make sure things are going to be okay. And the planning isn't bad, as you said earlier. What it does is sometimes it robs us when we're in a space of worry or fear around the future and what it may hold. Then we're not only robbed from being in the present, but we're robbed from feeling peace, right? There's a lack of peaceful in our being when we're constantly somewhere other than where we are right now. My daughter always asks, you know, how do you make these concepts real, Mom? Because it sounds way too theoretical. You know, people talk about living in the now. What does that really mean? And here's a poem that I have called "The Moment We Live In Is Now," and it's by Rebecca Ann Lotus. And it says, the future is ready right here in the now. The past can be potent, but it's not here in the now. Time is an illusion that takes place in the mind, searching for meaning and a way to define the various things that take place out of time. For when did you remember a thing in the past, or when did you create a thing in the future? Stop looking for portends or to make all things last, for all that takes place is here in this moment. and I'll stop there. And what's really significant about that is it all takes place in the mind, right? All of it, the past, the future, the present. And when we're able to slow ourselves and to be completely present right now, then what we get is an opportunity to be peaceful in our spirit. And from that place, we can create everything. And it would be even more grand than when we're consistently worried about what's going to happen in the future or lamenting what happened in the past.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love that poem. That definitely hits what we're talking about here. So what's the second step? Become aware of your habit of living in the past and the future, and notice how you forfeit the value of this moment and you waste your time worrying about tomorrow. Life is just a stretched out now. I'm going to say that again. Life is just a stretched out now. Learn to effectively handle this moment. So let's understand that creativity must be attuned to reality. So firstly, the mind must stop distorting reality. The mind must remain in its natural state so that it can clearly distinguish between what is and what it appears to be. Ask yourself, how can creativity arise from a mind that is completely connected to distortion? So there have been some really interesting studies done on soccer players, and Eckhart Tolle, author of Power of Now, talks a lot about this. Players who pause before taking their shot at the goal have an infinitely greater likelihood of scoring than players who simply just kick the ball without any pause. So the question becomes, what happens in that moment of pause? Okay, what happens? Redirecting of attention within, where you touch a deep layer of your power. This is where your power resides, is in that stillness. So we'll get a little bit more into this.
And I'm sure each of us has had an experience where when we focused within, we were then able to focus without. I mean, some of the concepts that you're mentioning are very simple when you think about them. We just don't think about them, right? Because we're so busy, we don't oftentimes sit down and reflect. And it's also important in this space that you're talking about that we each create internally, Raj, it's important for us to be aware of what our inner dialogue is. Because sometimes when we center and we quiet ourselves, we may have thoughts that we didn't think we'd have. Like they may be pretender voices that we hear that are self-sabotaging or discouraging or self-deprecating in ways. And we want you to know that there's nothing wrong with that. We all hear sometimes negative thoughts that we project onto ourselves that sometimes we then project into the world. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's actually quite normal. Is that if you don't hear loving and supportive voices, though, when you go within, it's an opportunity for you to notice that and then for you to begin the process of healing that. What is most important, though, is that you notice the voices and dispute any thoughts that are not loving and that are not self-supporting. Because what you're directing them to, Raj, is a place within that is beyond the ego. And those voices are ego or tender voices. They're not the place of peacefulness that we're talking about that is beyond that.
Yes, and it's exactly, you know, it's that those are the distortions that I was referring to, right? We're always distorting everything. And it's that ego, that constant self-talk that we have. So once this place is accessed, the conceptual concept of self, the me, the small self, the small person that we think we are, that totally disappears. And you touch that deep, intensely alive stillness. Out of that stillness arises true power. It is not my power or your power. It is the universal power, which is accessible to each and every one of us. This can take on many forms. It may come as thoughts, ideas, or it may even be in the physical form.
scientists, after they have exhausted their thinking, reach a stage where there is cessation of thoughts. Okay, they've thought and thought and thought, and now all thoughts cease. Now, in this moment of stillness, which holds a non-conceptual intelligence, this is where true creativity is born. Okay, we are familiar with IQ tests, which measure conceptual intelligence, but there is a much vaster intelligence within each human being that is non-conceptual. It's not merely the words and concepts that we're used to. So let me just present something here. So you might be asking yourself, does that mean that if I access the stillness, I'll be able to come up with the theory of relativity, or can I make shots like Michael Jordan? No, that's not the way it works, because there has to be a prepared vehicle for this creative power to flow into. Now, in the book Outliers, it is mentioned that in order for one to get masterful at something, you need 10,000 hours of practice. Then the vehicle is prepared, and it's receptive to this deeper power and the source of the creativity.
Well, one of the things that I'm going to highlight that you just mentioned from the book that I sourced earlier was Everyday Creativity, Raj, and that the receptivity is incredibly powerful. Being open to your own internal, I'll say God-given talent, is really the first step. It's not being denial and judgment, because when we do that, we prohibit ourselves from expressing anything. So being open and receptive is really the key. And then it's also very important to just be in inquiry. Certainly when you're in the place of stillness, you know, you may have a desire to write, or you may have a desire to draw or paint or cook, or, you know, whatever your internal resources are, they will come to fruition if you give them space. So giving them space to, and just allowing yourself to express what's there is all we're talking about. And you can do that in the everyday context. It doesn't necessarily have to be something that you're doing outside of your normal life. So noticing, giving your opportunity to express, and then once the opportunity is there, to express it. And that's a part of, you know, retarding our tendency to be so busy that we skip over the other opportunities that are there for us to step into our creativity and to allow it to flow.
Yeah, so basically our creativity is just a practice. I mean, I think a lot of times we look at it like success and failure, and we get so, you know, afraid of failing that we don't do anything. We say, well, I'm not good at this. You know, like I think you mentioned before, like I can't draw. No, we can all draw. Even if we draw with our toes, we can draw. But the fact that we can say, I can't do something, you know, that right there shows us that we're like thinking of success and failure, and we're comparing ourselves and labeling ourselves. So the third step in this amazing process is creativity is a process, and all we're doing is we're preparing the vehicle. We're preparing our minds, our hearts, our souls, our bodies. Everything we do either enhances this process or takes away from it. Without the practice and preparation, we're not going to be able to experience true creativity. Ask yourself if you are prepared for creativity and the power it brings to yourself and others. Now let's talk about how creativity comes to fruition. Let's look at the example of the World Wide Web and Tim Berners-Lee, who worked on this idea for 10 years. When he started, he did not have a full vision for this new medium. He started on one side project at a time, often scrapping one project for a new one. It was not until 10 years later that he saw the full vision. New ideas and creativity, time to incubate, and it may remain in an inner hunch form for a long time. The other thing to remember is that in the hunch form of creativity, it needs to collide with other hunches that other people might have. Oftentimes, for a hunch to have a breakthrough, it needs another hunch to make it happen. You have to create systems around that to allow for your ideas and hunches to connect. Now, we are out of time, so I'd like to conclude by saying, are you happy? I don't want you to answer this question until you listen to next week's show on happiness. Understanding what happiness is and how to achieve it is key to you being happy. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please feel free to email us at pearlrajradio@gmail.com and like our Facebook page, Living Life Powerfully, to stay current with the upcoming episodes. Until then, I ask you, stay true to yourself and stay powerful. See you next time.
So long.